on, keep on, keep striving for this religion that we preach. Keep on, keep on, keep pushing, for nothing's ever right or free.
And welcome to another edition of the Loose International Podcast. I'm joined by Gav, as always, and Alex, who's actually getting paid for this. Hi, Alex.
Hi, guys.
Yep, this is the first time Alex is now going to call himself professional because he's getting paid for recording during working time.
Well, I do have a technical issue with my computer, work computer, so I'm waiting to hear on the tech support to come back to me with a laptop issue. But
should we really be talking about the fact that Alex is doing something other than work on his work time?
Yeah.
Well, I can't actually do any work at the moment. That's the problem. If my work laptop was functioning, I would probably say, fuck you guys, I'm going to work.
So please, Alex disappears during this podcast. We know why. If all of a sudden Alex just disappears, you know why. He's had to go work.
Yeah.
Anyway, I suppose since Alex has got some vague stuff about some waiting for technical issues, we better get on with it. So, right. So happy new year, first of all.
Don't say technical issues.
Those will come later, I'm sure. So, yeah, Happy New Year, which seems odd on the 9th of January, which is the longest month in history. So we've got a couple of games to talk about. So we'll start with the Chelsea game. Right, so a 3-2 loss, obviously, but we held our own. But we'll go through the game a bit by bit. So, obviously, we gave him a 3-0 start. First goal, Kibori. Gav, what an assist.
Yeah, it wasn't at the other end. But in fairness, that first goal in general, it was a great save by Kaminski at the start, from Jackson, I think it was. And then I don't understand why Mengi didn't just boot it into Rosie, because there's a lot of pressure coming from Chelsea. And then, obviously, Kabore decides that he wants an assist, and it's at the wrong end of the pitch, and Palmer puts it home. But you can't... This is why on the last podcast we did, I said that we need a defender in the transfer window, because you can't keep doing that. You can't keep defending like that. You just can't.
I mean, Alex, I mean, I suppose, right, give Kibori a limited amount of credit, a very, very, very limited amount of credit. He was obviously trying to start an attack. So rather than boosting to Rose Edge, which gives him possession back, and you don't really want to give him possession, he's trying to do something with it. But my God, what a pass to take to someone who's, right, 45 million quid player. He's going to know how to finish, isn't he?
It just shows how quickly you get punished for an error in Premier League. It just the players in Premier League is a whole different level than anything we've ever seen. Like if this was conference against Tamworth, a pass like that would probably go end in a shot going to Rose Z, you know. But in the Premier League, a mistake like that will be punished with a goal straight away. And that's just the quality of players we're playing against. So I'm sure they've been telling everyone to, you know, play the ball out of defense, and that's a tactic we're using. But sometimes mistakes happen like that, and in Premier League you get punished for.
And why are we picking on Tamworth? Was that just the first name that popped into your head?
Exactly, yep.
He woke up this morning going, Tamworth, work.
Bad times. Work.
Laptop.
Bad times.
And then obviously the second, I think it's, I don't want to pick on him, but he's on international duty, so I can do. But Kibori again gave away sloppy midfield. Went through Osho, I think it was. Maybe should have closed down the player, but it was a good finish, wasn't it, Alex?
Oh, yeah. As I said, really, really strong. It is Chelsea after all. They do have some money. Players. that
money,
money and some players that know what to do. So yeah, what can you expect? You know, as I said, you get punished for errors like that.
And it's one of them things, Nick. Like, I actually think I was more disappointed by the second goal than I was by the first goal. Because the first goal, I don't understand why Mengi doesn't clear it. Kabore hands the ball to Palmer. Palmer shoots, scores. Okay, it happens. I get it. The second one, the second goal, though, as you said, that we lost the ball in midfield. And then the midfield just went missing. And I know you put this in your notes as well. There was no midfield there. And that's why I said we're going to agree on something here. There was no midfield. Like, the ball through the palm, like, there was no one anywhere near him. He was able to just run into the fence. And then, obviously, there seemed to be a little bit of miscommunication between Doughty and Bell on who was picking up the overlapping runner and was Doughty supposed to go to the guy who was shooting. And that gave him the bit of space that he needed to shoot it. I actually think I was a little bit more disappointed by that second goal just because our midfield went completely missing.
And then, obviously, in the second half, Rob Edwards changed it. He's brought in Chong, who I thought had a really, really positive impact on Benny. Because I know you're going to love talking about him as well, but it's but it was suddenly it's a different game attacking there. I mean, then we obviously conceded a third, and you think 3-0 game over. So, into the last 10-15 minutes, though, we hit we had a goal disallowed, we hit the woodwork twice, we scored twice. The injury time was probably the least we've seen this season, apart from the cup games. It was, you know, we so could have had something, couldn't we?
Yeah.
It's just what can you say? Like, if we've only played paid 15, you know, 15, if we had five more extra time minutes, we probably would have scored a third. Just, I don't know what happened those last, like, it was almost like the players had been like saving up energy for the last minutes of the game.
I think it's just sort of, you know, Chelsea maybe think they won it there, but we got in, I think they said match of the day, they said 36 crosses we had in that game.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable against a side like Chelsea.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Like, we talk, like, I know you just mentioned there, like, an extra 5 minutes, and I know you mentioned it in messages, Nick, an extra 5 minutes there, and we probably would have got something from the game. I'm not 100% sure we would have, because after we scored that second goal, Poch basically decided to shut that shit down. He brought on an extra defender. He had Thiago Silva just fucking directing everything from the back line, who's a fantastic defender, can I just say. And we didn't really create anything. If you look at it, we didn't really create much. I think maybe one chance after that substitution came on in like the 89th minute, you know. I don't necessarily know if there had been more extra time we would have created anything, but as you said, we scored twice. We hit the bar. We hit the post twice. Once was an amazing save from the keeper to push it onto the post. We had enough. We had an offside goal. We had enough chances to win that game. And this is what I said or even get a draw. But that's what I said before this game. That is a very winnable game. You look at Chelsea tonight. They lost to Middlesbrough. They're beatable. They're very, very beatable. But you can't give them 3-goal head starts. And again, it comes back to we need reinforcements in defence.
Alex, I mean, obviously the reinforcement defence, we'll get to the transfer window in a bit, but it was, I think on the injury time thing, yeah, we may have scored, we may not have done, but they had 6 minutes. We've had games, we've had, you know, 7, 8, 9, 12, when we're winning.
Yeah, when you look at it as well, like, yeah, sure, we were 3-0 down, but like one of those goals came in the second half. We had two of our goals in the second half, and and then all the substitutions. Bit surprised that the amount of minutes they added. So it just shows that, like, the rules state that the referee are supposed to add seconds to every time the ball is out of play. They should add seconds to the match and add extra time. But it's just so individual which ref how the referees handle that rule, and that's something that's really frustrating.
And I mean, I think I'd like to add as well, get well soon to Chelsea players who were clearly sort of, you know, absolute agony on the pitch. And it was
Conor Gallagher.
It's a tough pitch to play on Kenilworth Road, you know.
The pitch actually attacks you, it seems. It drags you down, holds you on the ground. It's like, stay down there.
Yeah, terrible.
I just think, like, Poch showed us a lot of respect as well. We're bringing, like, I said about the City game. Like, Pep knew he was under the caution, brought on the defender. The same with the Chelsea game. Like, Poch knew he was in trouble. And you look at it, like, he brought on a defender. He brought on Fernandes, who I did not think he wanted to risk. if I'm being totally honest, coming back from injury. I don't think there was any plans on... Fernandes was on the bench, basically. If shit got out of hand, he was there to be brought on. And when we were starting to come back into the game, shit was getting out of hand. So we brought on Fernandes, and he brought on the fifth defender. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm not watching as many Burnley games or Sheffield United games. But I feel like we're being shown now a lot of respect from the top, or the so-called top teams in the league.
Well, I think Rob Edwards said basically the narrative is changing. It's people now saying, because you start the season, we were still going to be relegated by Christmas. Thank you, Garth Crooks. Just going to mention New Year. And by the way, we're not relegated, but it was... But it says the narrative changing. I think people are now thinking, right, Cummins Kenneth Road is a tough, tough place to come. And it's not sort of, you know, before pre-season, we're going to get stuff 4, 5, 6 in every game. And that's not happened, Alex.
No, and that's something I think we should take. Well, we have a few tough games left, so I'm not going to jinx it here by saying it. But I think we should take a lot of credit by not having those kind of awful games where we concede 5 and play like shit. But it seems like I'm going to do a segue for you, Henry. It seems like we've saved all our poor performances for the cup matches.
I was going to move on to something else, but I mean, the cup matches, I mean, Gav, obviously, cup matches, Bolton, you'd say should be winnable. However, if the season ended at this precise moment, we would be in the same division with promotion relegation. Plus the fact, obviously, cup matches, we've done it to teams. I mean, we've done some people turn up thinking, right, expect to win or think they should be favourites. It doesn't work like that. We know it doesn't work that way. So why should it work for us that way?
So I'm just going to come out and say it now, Nick. Are we recording next Tuesday? No, probably not. Bolton game?
Tuesday is probably fine. Wednesday we're playing.
Oh, we're playing Wednesday? Oh, see, I thought it was Tuesday. But either way, yeah, as Alex said, the cup performances have been pretty fucking shit. First half, Barkley shot twice that went straight at the keeper. Is that it? Was that, like, I think that was it. That was everything. Like,
yeah, it was the first half.
Yeah, I know Alex pointed out last week that, you know, and there's been a lot of talk online now, oh, we need reinforcements up front in the striker department. Like, you've got to create something for your strikers to score. And honestly, the Morris header in the second half, that the keeper saved more than anything else. He probably should have scored it. If we're being honest, Morris last season, when he's confident, scores that. You know, he hasn't scored as many goals as he probably would like this season, and I think it can tell. If that's Eloy, I think he scores it. But apart from that, Doughty's shot, we created nothing. Like, absolutely. Like, compared to the Chelsea game where we hit the bar twice, the keeper had to bring off numerous saves, we were causing Chelsea all sorts of problems. You know, and the strikers had chances. You know, you just kind of sit there and go, what did we create against Bolton?
The second half, I think we were a lot better. I think we changed up. The first half was poor, but we did have 18 shots, I think, all in all, sort of in the game. We hit the post, you had the saves, you had a couple of saves there. You had some long range efforts, you had some near misses, ones you should have gone better. I mean, I did think it's going to be one of those games we've actually peppered them in the second half and then we'll concede one on the break.
We were definitely better in the second half, but again, we were better with ball movement and getting to that final third. But again, did we really create anything?
But the thing, sorry, I have a cat here. The thing I noticed with the Bolton game was that, and what made me think that we should probably maybe look at getting a striker, was that when a team puts 10 men behind the ball like Bolton did against us, we struggled to break them down. And I've seen a few games where we have had teams come out, like when Sheffield United and Burnley play us, they will, especially when we are at home, they will try to put 10 men behind the ball and be defense played more defensively. And then we need a good striker with clinical vision. It could be just a case of getting them on form, but Elijah been on form and he's been doing pretty well. So I don't understand why we can create so many chances and not managing to convert.
I mean, we'll get transfers in a minute because it's transfer window. But I mean, obviously, just one final thing. Actually, a couple of players. Osho, the second half, got forward a lot more. Seems to be trying to dribble into the area. Doughty, he was playing as left winger actually the second half, pretty much, wasn't he?
Yeah. I actually had hope they would actually start him as a left winger or put Giles on the left wing as well, because Giles is more like a left winger than a left back. Should we talk about the lineup? Should we talk about that at all?
I think that's a very nice way of Alex saying Giles is very inept defensively.
Yeah, but like my point is if you look at the lineup, like I'm not gonna say the Bolton is a weaker team or a terrible team or something. They did their job, they did excellent, and they had tasks to perform and they did it. But when we actually started what I would say was a strong team, mm-hmm. and we couldn't break them down,
yeah.
That doesn't fill me with confidence. That doesn't like make me say, oh, we can do this, absolutely. We basically had an off game, and it was a great game to have off, but we really had an off game against Bolton.
I have to say, I agree with Alex. Like, I was very, very surprised when I woke up and seen that team. I was extremely surprised by how strong it was. There was the odd change, but I mean, that was as strong a side as I think you're going to get in a cup competition from Luton this season.
Yeah, and I actually went when I saw the line, I was like, oh wow, I should really watch this game live, and then I fell asleep, so I did. So okay. I didn't watch the game live, Nick, and we still didn't win. So,
you see, generally, I mean, just to explain this, Alex had tends to watch first halves when we struggled, says I'm going to bed, and then the second half, we actually sort of turn up.
I think any
game live whatsoever.
I watched the first half live with Chelsea, and the second half I watched in recording because I just fuck it, I'm going to bed.
Nick, can I ask a question?
Well, you know we do, yeah.
Do you believe in psychics? Because you're extremely superstitious.
No, I don't. But I think it's. I think I just blame Alex for anything. Actually, no, I blame you if you want to do a podcast on match day. Alex, who watched the game live. I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah,
I blame you because you have no hair.
No, I blame him because he doesn't go to matches. He lives like 2 hours away from Luton.
He's the closest to it, and he still doesn't go to games.
Am I really taking shit from you two for not going to, as well, only going to 3 matches so far this season?
The enclosure needs you, Nick. The enclosure needs you.
Yeah, and Alex basically gets a match, we have to all sponsor him to get over it.
No one sponsors me.
Well deserved, man.
The Outlaws don't like me enough.
It's a 2-hour and 12-minute drive from Norwich to Luton. Come on.
I thought he was talking about me there for a minute. I'm like, it's a bit longer than 2 hours.
I can't believe, Alex, you've actually stopped and Googled that.
I had to. I did it just for you, mate.
Can I just point out, when I actually go to games without drinking, we lose. So therefore, I need to get the train.
Oh, if you travel by train, it takes 2 hours and 45 minutes, it says.
Really? What route is that?
That's not bad.
Train line from Norwich to Luton in 2:45. Yeah, it says, yeah. I don't know what train line is. Oh, yeah, you guys have different train companies as well.
My mate who does model trainways would be so pleased.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
this is great. This is a cost back double thing. It's a train line. To get the train to Luton, you need to actually get the train all the way into London and then back out across London.
Could be.
But aren't we in London?
I'm just telling you what Google is telling me. So. Yeah.
But we were going to be called London Luton.
It's a 45-minute drive out of London. Come on.
Yeah, this is definitely
right. People are switching off now because I just mentioned London Luton. Whoever does actually listen. There's some that are going to be like, what's he talking about? And then there's others that are going to be like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, you travel from Norwich to Stratford, then you walk for 20 minutes and take the train from Stratford International for St Pancras.
You've lost them at walk, Alex.
Oh, yeah. And then
hang on a second. I guess Jim in.
Hey, it's possible to do 2 hours and 45 minutes. That's what this thing is.
You have to
walk for 12 minutes, though. You can at least get 2 beers in while walking. Come on.
There you go.
There is that. But actually, I mean, this is absolutely no interest or relevance whatsoever. But the easiest way is you go from Norwich to Cambridge, you go from Cambridge down to Hitchin.
You walk
to Hitchin town centre, which is about 20 minutes. You wait for the bus. You get the bus from some Hitchin into Luton. That's about 45 minutes.
Yep.
You have a few beers and you get into the ground at 2 minutes past three.
Cambridge.
So you're always late to everything. 2 minutes past three, 6 minutes past 10.
Nice.
And look, I'm the one that gets shit here.
At least he goes to
game. To be fair, Stu will actually not. Stu has a thing about never ever see a kickoff.
Fuck Stu.
You want to fuck Stu? That's up to you.
No, I don't.
Well, that's superstition. Maybe he doesn't. He doesn't want to be. If he sees a kickoff, we'll lose or something.
Well, we got promoted last year on that basis, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Transfer news.
You probably better do because we've got travelers and we're thinking, what the fuck? Anyone who's watching is thinking, what the fuck is going on here?
This is the Travel Guides with Alex.
Let me get my mate on to do model railways. We can have a real conversation.
We can have demonstrations of the trip from Norwich. Model
railways. Yes, now we're talking.
Yeah. Help. Right, so yeah, transfers. Now, obviously, we've got the transfer window. There's limited budget to spend. We've been linked with everybody going because that's where the transfer window in the Premier League. One of the players was this Oscar from South America, which, Alex, is AJ just trying to talk it up?
I honestly couldn't tell you, mate. It's a player apparently Edwards has said we know about him, and they think they rate him highly. If that has turned into a bid at some point and that agent seems to be milking it. Like, there were so many stories around this guy. Like, at first there was like 3 Premier League clubs after him and we were one of them. And then we apparently had a bid approved, but it had crashed because the player wanted to have more money out of the transfer or something.
Yeah, he wants 50% of the transfer fee. That's in his contract. The club goes, hang on a second, apparently, but...
Yeah, it's like, that's so unrealistic that I don't, it's just all bullshit and hot air from an agent, I think.
I mean, I think maybe Mike Neal did his transfer, but did his contract possibly that.
Yeah, it could be Mike.
Hey, Kevin, Google Mike Neal. But isn't he off the Bournemouth?
Potentially. Well, that's what his agent's saying at the moment, but God knows.
I know Bill Foley, whatever his name is, came out last week and had this big thing about, South American player coming across and we're going to send him on loan to one of our feeder teams in Belgium. And the thing was, I was listening to this, and the thing that caught me off guard more than anything wasn't that Bournemouth were buying a South American or that it was the guy that we were after. It was the fact that they have a feeder team in fucking Belgium. It's Bournemouth. Who the fuck do you think you are?
Americans trying to take over everything.
But yeah, apparently, like, the last I heard, he was off the Bournemouth. But I mean, the one that I've been caught by surprise by is Juan Mata, who I don't think it's possible at all. I think that's
all bullshit. That's a laugh on Twitter, surely. Sorry, X.
It has to be X, Twitter, whatever. But here's the thing, and as I said to you guys, like, I wouldn't be totally against it. Hypothetically, if we are in for Juan Mata, I wouldn't be totally against it. He's not going to be a starter. He would be, yeah. I don't think he's signed any team, but he wouldn't be a starter. He's like, 37 years of age. He wouldn't be a starter. He'd be a great player to have around the team to influence the likes of the young players coming through. And even the players that are there, Clark, Pelly, you know.
He was, and
I don't know why he's like now. I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but he was a fantastic footballer with a fantastic footballing brain. He reminds me a lot of David Silva that used to play for City. He has a fantastic footballing brain. Now, I'm not saying you bring him in and you play him. Maybe he's someone who comes off the bench for the last 10, 15 minutes of a game.
No, I'm not. I'm not disagreeing with you. He's a brilliant player. And come on, Ross Barkley signed for us. So, but the other story, Jordan Henderson. Imagine getting Jordan Henderson.
Are we actually linked to Jordan Henderson?
No, we are now because Alex said it. But
Alex, if you just broke that on this podcast, I'm fucking clipping that. That's going everywhere. Jordan Henderson transfer.
If that happens, I'm gonna just sit down and cry.
Yeah, I think I would too. Although, in fairness, you're gonna fucking kill me here. It makes sense if Nakamba is gonna be out for a while, right? Because there's been talk of Arsenal possibly pulling the old, oh, we need Lokonga back.
Yeah.
There's talk of all sorts. I mean, there was talk in the recording because we weren't playing, mainly because he was fucking injured.
Yeah. But, you know, like with Nakamba injured, yeah. I'm not the biggest Jordan Henderson fan, but he fits into the mold, right, of what we need in that defensive midfielder role.
So does Pelly if you need cover.
No. See, I don't see Pelly as a defensive midfielder. I see Pelly further forward.
He has played defensive midfielder before.
He has. He's played defender before, if we all remember back to the non-league days.
Yeah.
But so, I don't see him as that. I don't... How do I word this nicely? Because Pelly's a legend.
Oh, wow.
Stop before we crucify him.
I don't think Pelly has the nous that an Nakamba has to read the play.
Okay.
No, here's the thing.
I'm going to point out Gavin also said, what's his name? That
Gavin Viana. Here we go. Oh my God.
Every
fucking year. We're not bringing up the fact that Alex thinks we should sign some 33-year-old Norwegian striker, though.
Oh, we can bring that up. But...
when did I say that?
Who's that Norwegian striker you put in the WhatsApp?
Holland.
Plays in the Europa League? No, it's not fucking Holland. I wish. Anyone would have said yes.
Yeah. The bully didn't play. Yeah, well, he would score goals at least.
We'd have to create them for him, though.
Oh, he is a creative attacker, so
he would. So he creates his own chances.
Basically, if we go to that transfer thing, we've got one player to bring in, one squad space. We're not getting rid of people, because I know Alex, you have your calling Woodrow Voodoo all these stick pins in every night, so.
And there's a lot of people who kind of feel like he's kind of a waste of a space. When it comes to the defensive thing, though, I don't think, like, losing Lux is huge, and we miss him, and I pray he recovers. And I pray he's able to play football again. But we do have Dan Potts fit now, and we do have Burke fit now as well.
So for how long?
That's a different story. But we do have them fit now, so the club might be thinking, hang on, we got these two players back now. Yes, Lox is injured, but these two players are back. And both of them can play at centre-back. Well, Rhys is more a centre-back than anything. Potts can play both left back and centre back. So I am actually thinking there's more realistic a midfielder or an attacking player would be the thing that they're looking to sign. So we'll just have to wait and see on that.
I agree. I think with Nakamba out, I think that leaves a hole in our midfield, especially if Arsenal pulls some funny shit, which, let's face it, it's Arsenal. They probably will. There's definitely an opening there in midfield for us to get someone in. I just think defensively, because, I mean, we talk about Potts and Burke coming back, but realistically, I'm not trying to be bad, but, like, how fit are they going to be for the run-in? How many games if we go out of cup, how many games realistically are you going to give them? Like, if we're in the cup competition, you can play them in that. And then also, are they going to stay injury-free? Like, they both have had numerous injury problems over the last couple of years. So are they going to stay injury free? Now, I was surprised in the Bolton game that Anderson didn't start. Like, really surprised.
I was surprised by that,
Yeah, me too, yeah.
Like, but if we're talking about defensive issues, we need to be playing him.
for me, if you bring in one player, if you've got one player you can bring in, obviously Lox is kind of out at least for season, you'd assume. Beyond that, we don't know. And I think if you don't look at the amount of players we went to the season, so right, we've got this many centre backs. If you've lost one for the season, which we're going to talk about at the moment, I think you need to replace him, especially the league we're in. I think midfield, we've got options to come midfield. You've got the Jordan Clark, you've got Perry, you've got Berry. I mean, we're signing him for the reasons to come in. Obviously, we've had a couple of others come in as well. So I think the centre back is going to be more important right now.
Can I ask a question real quick? Would you guys be okay with a midfield? So let's say we play a 3-5-2. I know it's more of a 5-4-1, but let's say we play a 4-5-1. So let's say we play a 4-5-1. Would you be okay with the two midfielders being Clark and Barkley?
Yeah. I think Clark's played defence. He can do that. So
he can do it. Absolutely. I think
because that's honestly my biggest concern. Like Lokonga right now takes care of a lot of the dirty work, I would say, in a football game that goes unnoticed. Nakamba did it when he was in the team as well. Like my main concern is that role. Like, can Clark and Barkley, if they're playing together, are they too similar? And I pointed out before, I don't think Pelly has the noose that Nakamba has. And that's not to say Pelly's not a great player. He's a legend for this football club with everything that he's accomplished. But he brings something different.
The thing is, though, it's all personal related as well. Like, Edwards haven't even played Clark, and he hasn't played very much either.
But Clark's been injured.
Yeah, but he's been back for a while.
He's been back for a while, and he's been on the bench, and he's coming in games. But yeah, and that's another. Like again, you come back to cup competitions; they're the games you need to be starting Clark in.
Yeah, no, I still think that in my opinion, I still think we probably would want to sign a striker in this window.
Like, where would the striker play apart from up front?
Well, we
play with basically one main striker there. So you got.
Look at the form there. We need more competition up front. Like, we have Morris, we have Adebayo. There's nobody else. Like, yes, we have some wingers that can play as strikers, but the strikers we have are so much better than the wingers we have on the striker position. We need more competition. You know, you could go for a young player like Ali Al-Hamadi from Wimbledon, for example. Or some more seasoned, like a European League club or something like that. I'm sure the scouts are doing a great job looking up prospects for us. But yeah, in my opinion, striker is probably what we're needing right now.
I just feel off about dropping. Like, if you're saying you're signing a new striker, especially if you're signing a striker that's not seen as a long-term project, like if you're signing a striker that's 20, 25, 26 older, he's looking at starting every single week. I just don't, like, right now with the form that Eli was in, given the bad Bolton game, I just don't feel right about dropping Eli. And in the Bolton game, I think he was pushed more out to the left, wasn't he? Because Morris
was playing in the middle. He is playing along with Morris as well, which I think where he's coming, he's been playing that central strike with us of, you know, the 3-5-1 formation.
So. Yeah, but I just don't
feel right.
Yeah, but you should look at the positioning of the ball. He always pulls to the left. I don't know why, if it's a tactic or if just how he plays. But yeah, he always pulls to the left. That's just part of his style.
It's got to be a tactic, right? It's got to be it's got to be Edwards saying pull to that side because if you pull to that side and win the ball, it's down to Doughty, who's a fantastic crosser of the ball. Plus, it also gives whoever's coming from the right hand side a chance to cut inside, likes of Benny and whatnot.
Look at the goal we got in the playoffs. He came in from the left and nutmegged that 35-year-old defender or whatever he was. Jeez.
But yeah, I look at it and go, okay, if we buy a new striker, that means Eli and Morris are both on the bench. Unless someone goes out the door like a Woodrow. I don't feel comfortable with that, especially with Eli.
Alex is trying to push Woodrow out the door as we speak, which I think is a bit harsh.
That's another player that hasn't played a lot this season, but when you look at it, he has Premier League experience.
And I think with Woodrow as well, I think what he does add, he does have that ability to get a goal from long
nowhere. Nowhere.
But the thing is, when he has played, he's always like, okay, I don't rate Boudreau, and
we guess that.
I think a lot of Luton fans accept me. I think has gone a lot further than I have when it comes to giving him criticism. I feel that the problem with Boudreau is that he isn't getting any game time, and the few times he does, it's like a 20 minute or 10 minute jump in here and there, and it's really hard for a striker to make an impact. You can at sometimes, you know how Morris did it one time, but it's really hard to actually make an impact coming off from the bench when you're a striker. And for example, if the team's ahead, for example, it's really hard because that's the defense is the focus. So Rowe is kind of getting the short end of the stick that way, but I don't think he's high enough quality. He was in the Fulham team for ages. He never got to be like a starting forward there. And once he moved on, he never really got into that. He was always going to start. So that's been the problem with Woodrow's career. He's never been like the first priority striker. Not even at Barnsley.
He was
leading the score for two seasons in a row, wasn't he?
They had Morris
before.
And they obviously didn't rate
him. Five goals. Woodrow actually got more than that.
Yeah, but like, okay, maybe, but like, he's still.
Here's the thing. I think I know what Alex is getting at. I think Woodrow is a championship level striker that could possibly step up to the Premier League at a push. But I agree with a lot of what Alex has said. He's coming on the last 10, 15 minutes of games. It's hard to impact the game. We mentioned Clark earlier on as well, and I asked the question about Clark and Barkley. I actually think Ross Barkley and the form he's been in has hindered a lot of Luton Town players and their playing time. I think it's hindered Clark because I don't necessarily think Edwards wants to play Clark and Barkley together. And when you look at Woodrow last season, when he was most impactful for us in the championship, when he was in games, was behind Morris. We're not playing that anymore. Barkley's taken over that. Barkley's changed that system. So Barkley's actually impacted the team in the way that they play and in who's getting game time. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing because Barkley's been pretty decent for us this season. But it's definitely
fantastic for us.
It's been he had a couple of wobbly bits at the start, but he's definitely hindered a couple of the players that got us to this point, getting minutes. Now we talk about there only being one space in the transfer window for someone to come in, and again I say I think it should be a defender with Locks out injured. I think it should be a defender, but realistically, who's going to go out in the transfer window? Like, do you see Woodrow going out? Do you see Berry going out?
I think it all depends if there's interest in the players as well. I think like with a player like Barry and Clark, both of them have not been getting game time. It's up to them really. Do they want to go to a team where they will get them game time or not? Like you see how we have rotated all our low knees now. We've pretty much pulled every low knee back because for different reasons. Like Joe Taylor's come back from Colchester and gone out to Lincoln again, division up. Pereira's come back. Pebble has come back and they've come back because they haven't been playing. So we'll have to wait and see if they got other plans for them and they're rotating them around because game time is essential. And for a footballer, if you don't get any game time at the club, why do you want to be there? So
I think there's a kind of slight difference there. I mean, like Pepple wasn't really getting much game time. Pereira actually got more appearances at about 18, I think, more than I thought he was getting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a long-term thing. McAtee's obviously stayed where he is, and Barnsley, I'm sure, would love to sign McAtee permanently, but because we keep nicking their players, so they think, okay, yeah, I'm back, so fair enough.
No, but I think McAtee is going to be with us next season because if we don't find a striker in this window,
yeah, we'll I agree. I think if you look at it, no matter to me, no matter what way you look at it, like if we stay up, I think there's going to be interest in our players. And I think there's specifically going to be interest in Eli after the way he's performing this season so far. I think McAtee comes in. I don't necessarily see Morris at the moment.
Turned 27 on Saturday, didn't he? 27 now?
I'm not talking about top end Premier League. I'm talking about the teams that are down there battling with us.
Yeah, it could
you
be.
Know?
Well, I think, the one that's been interesting and that's come out there is Mengi.
Yeah.
That's just, no, that's just stupid. Like, he's been with us for 6 months. No, I don't believe that's a transfer rumor at all. I think, like, no club would actually go ahead and think and sign a player after six months from the previous.
No, game. I think they said they're looking at him. So basically, they're looking if we went.
He's
down
on their radar.
Yeah.
Could be. But, like, Mengi and Osho is probably our biggest sale prospects.
Dowsy?
Huh. Yeah. Like, we discussed this, Nick. Like, right now, Doughty's probably what? $25 million player? £25 million? Euros? Anyone for Euros? No? He's probably around the $25 million mark.
Right? I think Dowsy, I mean, I basically put something on Outlaws and I said, right, so, I mean, I knew what my vote was, which was Dowsy. So which players really steps into the Premier League? And Doughty is the answer. The crosses, the assists, the dead ball delivery, the defending. He looks every inch a Premier League player. And clubs will be looking at him, especially left back is a proper position.
Yeah. We discussed this, Nick. Like, United, Shaw, can they rely on him as a left back? No. Liverpool have Sasaki or whatever the fuck his name is playing left back. They don't have Robertson. Probably a weak point of their team. Arsenal don't have a left back that they can trust. And you're just talking about the top teams there. You're not talking about the teams.
I would say Doughty is basically needs to be looked at for England potential.
Yes. And that's what. Okay. So 25 million. Okay. Right now. If he gets an England call up, 35 million. Like, you're looking at about 40 million in the summer if he keeps performing the way he is. And just like Gary Neville and Jamie Carragher, these are fucking morons. Like, I'm not taking anything away from Tottenham. They've had a fantastic season. But to pick anyone in your Premier League team of the season at left back other than Alfie Doughty is criminal. Absolutely fucking criminal. Because he's been far and away the best left back, left wing back, whatever the fuck you want to call it, in the league this season. And, like, we only talked about the big teams. We talked about United, Liverpool, Arsenal. Like, City don't play that way, so you can't really talk about left back for City. Chelsea, would Chelsea take Doughty? I'm fucking sure they would. There's so many teams right now that would take Doughty. Like, you'd easily get 40 million from him if he got a call up.
We don't want to sell him. Actually, if any comes in this scouting podcast,
we don't want to sell him.
Don't take him.
We don't want to sell him, but realistically, like, if we go down, he's one of the players that you're looking at saying, okay, yeah, we don't have him next season.
Yeah. Alex, like, you seem to be about to disagree there.
I think one of the things that Edward's been great at, and Jones before him, and Mick Harford, and the board, basically, they've created a team. They like look at Danny Hilton when he left the club. He hates having to go to a different club. He loves Luton and he comes back anytime he can. And that's been the story with so many of our players from this crew. They've created such an amazing atmosphere within the squad that the players that leave they miss being at the club. So I think that any players that leave now would most likely be some of the latest signings. I have a doubt. I think he feels a lot of loyalty both to the club and to the managers that gave him the shot because Stoke wasn't. And I think that's the reason why he's going to stay. But Osho and Mengi are more likely to move on. Because they're still very young. Mengi is 21, Osho's 24.
I think basically, as long as you're in contract as a player. I mean, if you're out of contract, that'd be some says, do you want five times your wage? And they go, yes, please. It's Lord, I don't buy these loads of things. Some offer me five times the wage. And they go, okay, I like you. They're offering me five times as much. I'm off.
So I agree with Alex to a certain extent, but I disagree with the Osho thing just simply because I know where Alex is coming from. Like he hasn't been there for a long time at Luton. But I think if you look, and I said this in the last podcast, if you look at Osho before Edwards came in and Osho now, he looks a completely different player. He looks like his twin brother who actually has skill is playing for the fucking team.
Osho's been Luton longer than Doughty.
There you go. Yeah. But like, with Doughty, I just think that, like, if you're Doughty and you're at the age where he's at, he's what, 20, 22, 23?
25, I think.
25. So you're looking at, okay, how many more years do I have to get an England call-up to play in the Champions League? And if someone like Arsenal or Liverpool, not as much United because they're fucking screwed, but if Arsenal or Liverpool come in for you, you've got to take that chance. You've got to go there and play Champions League football and test yourself against the best and look to get an international call-up. And you know that our board would put in a shit ton of fucking clauses in there. This percentage once he makes the first international appearance. This percentage once he makes the first Champions League appearance. Because our board are smart like that. But the one question I did want to ask is, we've talked about players here. How many of you, would you both be worried if Rob Edwards was a target this summer for a different Premier League team?
I think basically it's a club. It is what it is. I think the thing. So you just hope people stay. If they don't, you get well compensated. And I think you've got this recruitment place to replace it. So
and Jones is still without a club. So
I'm not the biggest Jones's fan, but Alex, I will ask you: do you think that because clubs don't want him, or because he's still living off the big payday he got from Southampton when he left?
Nah, I don't think clubs want him. He's shown he's a one man club. He's a one man club and one club man. Sorry, and he can't do it at any other club. Seems to be that's the reputation he's developed, and it's in a way it's his own fault for doing that. So I think the only job he would be in real contention for at the moment would be Luton.
And I do have another question. Do both of you believe we would have got promoted last season under Nathan Jones?
No.
I don't either. Just to throw it out there, I do not believe that Nathan Jones would have got us promoted last season.
I think Nathan Jones is very good for us, but I think I think basically his head had been turned beforehand. That showed results. I think Rob Edwards has come in and I wouldn't say a point to prove. I think he's just come in and I think he's a genuinely honest, nice bloke who's a fucking good manager. I don't even think he had anything. I want to prove a point to them. Exactly. I think that's gone. But he's smiling. Really.
Not to make this a Nathan Jones podcast, but you think then he's looking for a championship to club to take him on, where realistically he probably has to step down to a League One team?
I think he's still got his payoffs there. I think if he takes another job, his payoffs gets cut. So therefore, he can pick and choose to a certain extent. Plus, he's actually quite divisive. Yeah. I mean, he's kind of, I think for us, we knew him there. But I think a lot of other people thinking, oh, God, he's this sort of, you know, he's basically, it was a Steve Evans, not quite Steve Evans character, but it was that sort of, that dislikability. So it's kind of, if someone takes him and think, right, he needs to win them over fairly, fairly quickly. And I think Nathan Jones is a player, is a manager who needs, he needs a bit of time to actually put his stamp on the team.
Yeah. And just for you guys' information, I went and did my Googling and found out.
Oh, God.
On Transfer Market now, the highest.
Okay. I'm about to absolutely destroy you if you use Transfer Market as anything.
The highest player at the club now is Carlton Morris on Transfer Market.
Yeah. I don't agree with that. Just personally, I don't agree with that. But
Alex, you do know that Transfer Market is a site that Derby County used basically to value their squad. And there's appreciation to get a financial fair play. It's also the site that's actually valued James Justin at 250,000 before we sold him for 7 million.
Yeah. I know it's completely unrealistic, but I had to just go a place and find some price.
It was the first thing that popped up in Google search, okay? Fucking leave him alone, Nick.
He's gone to Transfer Market.
What you're saying there is basically I have the ability to become a sporting director of a League One club.
One goes into administration, yes.
Alex, once you get that private jet, make sure to send it to California, okay?
Let's have a look at transfer market. Let's, Gav, without looking, I'm going to look this up and you can guess how much some of our players are valued at.
While you're looking it up, I just want to say I am worried about Rob Edwards in the summer because if we go down, I think the likes of a Crystal Palace who are definitely going to move on from Roy Hodgson in the summer, I think, if not before.
Well, they are.
I think they would be someone that would be realistically interested.
I'm not concerned. I think he's going to stay. He at least needs one more season under his belt in order to have the reputation to basically get a different
I do agree with that because I think if we do, and I'm saying the word relegated a lot here, Nick is going to fucking kill me. But if we do get relegated, I see us playing a completely different style of football next season.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Was that going to kill you? Because what you said was just generally.
Yeah.
Just generally. Yeah, so transfer market. Let's go, Nick.
Okay.
One matter. Free transfer.
You do know I have the site up right now and I could have...
There you go. Nick, you Alex, okay, going. So, he's being paid for this, Nick. Use him.
Right, so how much would you value, say, transfer market, take your guess, on Tendon Mengi?
2.5 million.
Alex?
7 million.
Yeah.
He has the website up. That's not fair.
It does, but... Gabe Osho.
I know this is not a competition, but still, he has the website up. I don't.
Was this a strong transfer market here? Gabe Osho. Gav.
I'll let him go first because he has the fucking website up.
No, because I can see what it is and it's ridiculous.
Oh, we want to see Gavin's ability here now. That's
Gabe Osho. Cool. Okay, so Tengen Megi was 7 million. I would say Gabe Osho was 6 million.
1 million.
Fuck off. So here, okay, so that's purely because Tengen Mengi came from United. That's pure, because if you're asking me right now who's the better defender, Osho or Mengi, it's Osho.
Actually, if you look at that, he was worth £2 million when he went to Luton, and he's gone up.
There's no way we paid $2 million for him, right? Well, maybe. We paid $5 million for fucking Tahith Chong, so yeah, anything's possible.
Well, let's look at Tahith Chong. So it's
$5 million.
They're not far off there.
I think it's about 4.5, wasn't he?
Yeah, 4.5.
Okay, Issa Bore. This would be an interesting one.
Well, considering he's a City player, not necessarily ours, I would say around the 20 to 25 million mark.
10 million, but
see, that's low.
Yeah, well, like,
realistically, if Issa Kabore is worth 10 million and you were to say to City, hey, we'll give you 10 million for him, and they say, yeah, I would say go for it. I know he's made mistakes, but I mean, fuck it. 10 million for a player of that caliber when you know he's just going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, we know.
And finally, Afi Dowsey.
I've already said this. 25 million, 35 million with an international call-up, 40 million if a top four club team comes in from.
4.5 million, apparently, according to...
Fuck off. Yeah, exactly. Transfer market needs to close their ass down.
Hey, Tom Lockyer is worth 3.5 million. Come on.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah.
If you're offered anything less than 25 million for Alfie Doughty, you turn it down.
No, yeah, exactly. Unless that contract at the end of the season, which I don't know, but
I don't think he is.
I think that concludes our podcast, doesn't it?
Does Transfer America not have that information? When's the contract expiring?
Guesses, but let's have a look.
Again, let Alex do this. He's on the clock.
Yeah, Alex.
It's the clock. God.
Alex, do the job you've been paid for here.
None of the wrestlers are being paid.
His contract expires May 31st, 2024.
Fuck, he is.
Well, no, that's if they're correct.
Yeah.
Are we saying they're not correct?
And then blasphemous,
Nick. Blasphemous. See, okay, so I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt and say they're correct. That's a worry for me. That is wow, a worry for
same me. Same age as Jack Grealish. Come on. That's pretty cool.
Yes,
bear in mind, we do not announce our contract lengths. Transfer market guesses a lot, badly sometimes.
Well, let's fucking hope they guess badly on this one.
All right.
That's the podcast. Yeah, I'm.
That's it, Dan. I think it's 43. Yeah. We've gone completely off topic. Everything else. Yeah. We've done travel routes. We've done transfer market.
I'm fucking irate at Alfie Downey.
Alex has been paid for an hour of talking completely.
It's going to be a heavy edit, guys.
I'm completely irate at the fact that Alfie Downey is apparently only worth 4.5 million. Go fuck yourself.
So if you're still listening, what are you doing?
Yeah. See you later. Kevin, stop.
Hey, guys.